Good morning. It's great to see everyone here this morning. The singing was beautiful today, and the prayers, and appreciated the words of Bruce at the Lord's table this morning. Something exciting I want to share with you before we get started, and that is last Tuesday night on our class down our Bible reading at the bakery in Burien. We had five people. That's the record most that we've had. And I wasn't even there. So maybe that's why it was so good. I don't know. But we had five people attending. And we had the first from our app that came from the community. So really excited about that. And want to give God the praise and the glory for it. And we're just excited that we were starting to see some fruit, and hopefully we'll have more coming. Bruce was saying the lady that came from the app, was it a lady or a man?
A lady
that came from the app. We have 11 people that are signed up on the app following us, and she said she might bring some friends with her this week, so... That's great. We're really, really wonderful news there, Bruce. Thank you. If you have children, you're probably hearing the question, Mom and Dad, how many more days till Christmas? And the answer is 16. 16 more days. Rusty has been excited. He's been learning to text and email, and so he's been sending a lot of texts out and asking what everybody's Christmas list is. So we're excited about that. It's the time of year that we are able to give gifts. I think it's the ultimate time of gift giving. And something that is celebrated all throughout the world, giving of gifts in that way. And I think it is a reminder, ultimately, that God has given the great gift that He has given to us in His Son. And so we have an opportunity to, in life, to think about that gift that God has given to us and the fact that God is a gift giver. And as we think about the gifts that God gives and that His giving nature is so gracious and so wonderful, James 1 verse 17 reminds us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. As we think of giving gifts to our children, I think we would all be disappointed if we saw in them a tendency that it was just about the giving of the gifts. The excitement about receiving their gifts, and it wasn't really an expression of love and appreciation. The reason we give our gifts to our children is not so that they will love us, but because we love them. And that's the reason God has given His gifts to us. But God, I believe, is doing that so that we can get to know Him and so that we can get to know His Son. And in all the giving of gifts, as we come to know God more and we come to know Christ more and His Son, we come to see, I believe, that we're more excited about knowing them than about the gifts that God gives to us. That we really have a relationship with God. That we are thrilled and wanting to see growing in our life with the relationship that we can have with God. The reason that Jesus came to the earth, I'm convinced, was not just so that we can live in luxury in our lives, but was so that we can come to know God more. That He was a testimony and a witness of the character of His Father and helping us to bring us to know His Father and know God. So when we think about the giving of gifts and the excitement that we have associated with that, we want to emphasize that this is also as a time of year that we need to be seeking Him. We need to be seeking God in our life. And I'd like for us to think this morning about seeking God and the importance of seeking God in our lives. And I appreciate the reading of Jeremy this morning in Acts chapter 17. And in that reading, Paul in the city of Athens, speaking to the philosophers of the Greeks, he spoke these things about the true and living God. And that was his theme that he was speaking to them. But he said that he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. And he reminds us here that God is near to us and that God is planning for us to seek him. That is God's plan in our lives, that we will seek him and find him, that we will come to know God. God has made his presence available here in our world so that people will come to know him and find him. But we see here that the emphasis that he brings here as he is speaking about this is to let us know that in a sense, we cannot find someone or lead someone to God. That person must be seeking. There is a need that each one of us have that we take the initiative in finding God, that we seek God to find him in our lives. And so that is what he is pointing out there, that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might find him, though he is not far from each one of us. So God intends that every one of us, every individual, will be seeking God. And when that happens, then God assures us that we will be able to find him because he is there. He is giving each one of us that invitation to come to him and to know him. As we think about that and the importance of seeking God, we learn that that word to seek, it means to seek for or to aim at or to strive after, to inquire into or to crave. So there is a desire that is a part of that word and that concept to seek God, to want to find him, to reach out for him, to strive to be able to know God. So this is a major theme that we find throughout the Bible, the importance of man seeking God and being able to find God, that God is a God who is invisible to us, a God of all power and creation and might and wisdom and love, and yet God has arranged things in a way that we can seek out after him and find him and know him. He, of course, has communicated with us through his word and through sending his son into the world. We are able to then know God. But it is important and imperative on each one of us to seek after him. We find in 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 19. In 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 19. He says, "Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God." Set your heart to do this. And in Proverbs 8 and verse 17, he said, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me." God loves those who love him and who seek him. In Proverbs 8 and verse 19, and Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13, he said, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." It's interesting that in the book of Psalms, David describes that those who seek God as a way of describing God's people. God's people are those who seek God. We sometimes can say seekers. They are seekers after God. That is another term for being a Christian, is you are a seeker. And in Psalm 34 and verse 10, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. God promises blessings then in our lives to those who seek after Him. He is not far from us, and therefore He can be found by those who truly seek for Him. What priority then should we in our lives place upon that, the seeking of God? It ought to be of a high priority. Something that we value in life is the determination and the continuing desire that we have to seek and know the Lord as a friend, as a personal relationship that we are able to have with God. And we might ask the question, introspective to each one of us, how am I doing? How am I seeking the Lord? Am I continuing to seek the Lord in my life? It's not something that just when I first became a Christian, I sought out the Lord. I need to continue to seek Him in a daily relationship that I can have with Him as my God. Well, this brings us to our second thought, is that seeking God requires effort on our part. It requires effort from us in order to seek God. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, familiar verse here, "But without faith," he said, "it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." So it's interesting that he puts it that way, that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And that believing in God is not the same as seeking God. There is more of an effort, a deeper effort that we need to make in order to seek God in our life, that we diligently seek Him. We believe that He exists, and that is good. We read in the book of James, though, James chapter 2 and verse 19, he said, "You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" We see then that knowing God, seeking God, requires an effort on our part in order to come to know Him. A half-hearted effort is not seeking God. If my life as a Christian consists of sort of a ho-hum, casual approach, that it's not something that I become very diligent and excited in my life about knowing God, that's not really seeking God. The Hebrew writer says, He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And throughout the Scripture, that is what we find. When the Bible talks about seeking God, it often associates it in that way, that there's an earnest effort that is being made to know Him. In Psalm 63 and verse 1, the psalmist here writes, in Psalm 63 and verse 1, a beautiful expression about this. He says, "O God, You are my God. Early will I seek You, earnestly will I seek You. My soul thirsts for You, my flesh longs for You, in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." often compared in the Bible to thirst, having a thirst for God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, "Blessed are those who thirst, who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." And David lived in a dry and thirsty land, in the land of Israel, the land of Canaan. It was a dry and thirsty land in many places. And if you've grown up in the dry country like I grew up, you can appreciate that statement. So, "My God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you in a dry and weary land." That ought to describe the desire that we have to know the Lord, to seek Him in our lives. So it requires effort on our part. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, I don't know if I said that correct. Gary and I, that gives us a lot of trouble. Deuteronomy. "From there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul." If you seek Him with all your heart and all your soul, Moses spoke about. You read the context of that passage. It's really prophetic what Moses was speaking there to the people of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Because he was giving them the law, laying the law of God out before them. And he was promising them, "If you will diligently keep my laws and my commandments, then I will bless you and you will dwell in this land in safety and in peace. But if you neglect these commandments, if you forsake me," he said, then you will be driven out. You will lose these blessings. "But if you then in your heart, from there," he's saying, "you will seek the Lord your God from that other place that I may allow you to go. From there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul." So God was giving them an assurance. "I am your God. I have made a covenant relationship, promises with you and with Abraham. And yet if you forsake my law, there will be consequences. And I will even allow you to go into a foreign place, so that it will cause you to then seek me out in your hearts. And when that happens, then you will find me, and I will bring you back and bring my blessings back upon you." And in Jeremiah quoted from this same thought in Jeremiah 29, because Jeremiah was foretelling that the people of Israel had done this in his day. They had forgotten the laws of God. God was going to send them into Babylon for 70 years. And that would be a long exile. But he said, "And there you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." So he's really quoting, in effect, from Moses in the book of Deuteronomy that he had spoken hundreds of years before that time. But we see that seeking God, sometimes it happens when we have strayed away from God. When we have been for a time in our life, we have not given God the proper place that He ought to have. But if we come to a point in our life that we realize we need Him, we can always call upon Him. And when we call upon Him with our heart, He says, "You will find me." That's a wonderful thing to know about God's faithfulness to His people. Jesus often told many parables. In Matthew chapter 13, He told this parable about the kingdom of heaven. And in this parable, He describes it as being a treasure that was buried in a field. He says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 here, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. But describing the value of the treasure of the kingdom of heaven, of being his children and inheriting those blessings and promises of salvation that we have in Christ and in the church, it's a treasure that he would seek out and find it and sell everything else to obtain that treasure. Well, the third thing that I want to emphasize in the lesson today is the promise that we will find him if we seek him truly in that way that the Bible speaks of. In the Bible way, if we will find God if we seek him the way that God promises we will find him. Psalm 9 in verse 10. He says, "And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." And God has been faithful to his promises. He will be faithful to us. When we seek him, we will find him. And when we find him, we find a treasure. We find something that changes our life and becomes the most important thing in our life. Knowing the Lord, having him there in our life daily. We can have him in our life through prayer. And that is one of the ways that we can seek God, is through our prayer requests, that when we talk with God in prayer. Jesus said in Matthew 7 in verse 7, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." We can pray then to God on a regular basis, and we can seek God, we can seek his help, we can seek to know him, and we will find him when that happens. God requires all of our heart and soul, as we saw in Jeremiah 29 and 13. And God is only found when finding him and seeking him becomes our first priority. That becomes such an important thing in our life, to seek God. And the promise is that when we do, we will find him. David was speaking with his son Solomon. As Solomon grew up and the temple, God was beginning to speak with them about the temple. And God said to David, he said, "I'm not going to allow you to build this temple. You've been a man of war. You're a man after my heart." But he would not allow David to build the temple. But David nevertheless made those plans and dreams in his heart of a house for the Lord. And he was speaking with the people of Israel, but he turned to his son, Solomon, at that point in 1 Chronicles 28. And he said, "If you will serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. And if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever." Well, those words that God spoke with David, or that David spoke with Solomon, I think they resonated with Solomon, because later when he became king, God asked him what his request would be, and he said, "I want to have a heart of wisdom that I might lead this great people that you have entrusted me to be the king." But if you have a loyal heart with a willing mind, he says, and the Lord searches all hearts. Notice that also. God knows the heart and the motives that each one of us have. So our heart needs to be, "I want to know God so that I can know him." Not just so that he will give me more blessings. In Psalm 119 in verse 2, he says, "Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with a whole heart." Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with a whole heart. That psalm is a tremendous some of our need for the Word of God and how, as we turn to the Word of God over and over again, that is where we find God's help. And we get to know Him through His Word many times, because He reveals more of His character as we read the Word of God. He says in Psalm 119 and verse 97, for example, he said, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." Bruce talked some a little about that in Psalm 1, that the man of God, he meditates on the Word of God. You think about those things as you, throughout your day, you're meditating. In fact, in our class this morning, talking about Isaac and Rebecca, God bringing them together, it said how Isaac went out in the evening and the fields, and he was meditating. And that was when he first saw Rebecca, as she was returning with the servant there. The book of Proverbs talks so much about finding the treasure and finding the relationship with God and the wisdom that we can have as we come to know Him more and more. He says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of His saints." Again, we see what's being emphasized here is a desire of us, a heart's desire that we have to seek God, to know His will, to love His Word, to grow in His wisdom that He is able to have for us. Too many times, I believe that in our lives today, we are crowded out with so many other pursuits that we almost take the approach of saying, "You know what, I don't have time to do this in my life. I'm just so busy. I have so many other things going on. How can I have time to seek the Lord? How can I have time to seek out His Word?" And yet this is the most greatest importance in our life of any other thing that there is that we have. And so as a result, I think we go looking for those other things to fill our lives, and we come up unsatisfied. He describes it in these terms that we have read there, as if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will find it. And as being in a dry and thirsty land, that you are my God, and earnestly will I seek you. But today, many times, instead of that, we are hungering and thirsting, but we don't find that which satisfies our soul in our life. It's a lot like when you come home. Have you ever experienced this? And you come home, you're so hungry, and you go and you grab the nearest snack that there is. Some kind of potato chips or cookies or whatever is readily available, you know, and we start putting those in our mouth, and 30 minutes later we find out that we're hungry. That does not satisfy us. It's not good for us. That type of thing. And so we fill our lives that way many times today, with pursuing after money or pursuing after entertainment, or, "Oh, I'm going to go on a trip to Alaska, or I'm going to go on a trip here and I'll find meaning in my life." And yet we don't. That only comes through knowing the Lord. That's where that hunger and thirst needs to bring us. And this time of year, I think, as we think about the giving of gifts and thinking about the gift that God has given us, it's such an important time for us to reflect upon this very aspect of knowing Him. And all this gift giving that we do and gift giving that God has given to us, if we don't find the Lord in that, then we're going to find that emptiness in our lives is going to continue. These gifts are not going to fill that void. Either giving them or receiving them, it's going to be that wonderful relationship that we can have with knowing the Lord. Knowing His Son whom He sent, that precious child that was born there in Bethlehem and grew up to give His life and shed His blood for us, the wonderful Savior that we have in Jesus Christ. So, seeking God, He is not far from us. If you will seek Him, you will find Him. God promises that over and over in His Word. We're going to stand and sing now the invitation song. There may be one here today that is needing to respond to the invitation of Jesus Christ. You need to come to Him this morning, believing that He is the Son of God. Are you willing to repent of your sins? Turn away from that way of life that you've been living. Make a confession of that faith openly and bravely, without any hesitation, and then being willing to act upon that faith by coming forward, being baptized into Christ, with the assurance that we'll be raised up in newness of life, our sins forgiven, ready to begin a new life, following with Him, living for Christ. So if you're here today and subject to that invitation, I want to invite you this morning, that will you come while we stand together and while we sing. There.